Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, my brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining in today. We're going back into our study of the letter S, which is study number 19B, the third study in the letter S, in our alphabet for the ABCs. And we're studying about sin, and we're trying to kind of like pulling a donkey out of the field, trying to get through it. But we're doing pretty good, aren't we? We're going over a lot of, no disrespect to the Lord or His Word, but sin is just something that you don't like talking about. And bringing it up, and especially when it comes up to studying it, because you have to face every single one of them. But that's what we want to do. We want to get in God's Word and let God the Holy Ghost teach us things. And I'm sure already that us being the repetition of some of these sins that it's been mentioning so far, and we're almost out of the itemized sins of the scriptures, and we'll get into some other parts of the study describing different things having to do with sin and what the scriptures say without itemizing. But right now that's what we're doing. And it's good for us because it gives God the Holy Ghost a chance to talk to us about something for us to listen, and to maybe where we wouldn't have listened the first time, we might listen the second time. And that perhaps could even be the reason why the Lord's mentioned these sins so much in different ways. Like, for instance, the last recording that we did, we talked about sins which a Christian must put off, and then also sins for which the law was given. And there were a couple of them that were mentioned one after the other in each different category. But the Lord chose to put these things in here and to put them under different categories. For what specific reasons he did, I don't know. But it could have been that these particular ones were being written to different churches, like the Ephesians and the Thessalonians and the Romans, and that could be a reason that they're itemized. But nevertheless, we like to be thorough in our study, and the Lord told us to study to show thyself approved unto God. And that's what we want. We want the Lord to be to approve our study. We want Him to be pleased with the study that we do. So that's why, I mean, ain't nothing hard about it. All we do is just read God's Word and go over it and discuss it and keep moving. And I learn, don't you? It's easy. It's nothing wrong as long as you're sincere and you mean business with the Lord and you want to. I mean, when you talk to the Lord, just say, Lord, I want to learn what you want to teach me. I want to. And you'd be surprised how that'll encourage you. And just tell him that you want to learn. And we do. So let's get on with it. And today we're going to go in. We talked about one other last time, sins for which the law was given, and I believe that was the last one that we did before we finished up our last study, last recording. So this time we're going to go in and talk about sins from which the Christian must turn away. You say, well, why is it entitled that? Because that's what the scripture says. We talked about putting away, turning away, putting off, and things like that. You see the different words that the Lord uses. And it also teaches us that every word of God is pure. God picks His words. I heard a man say one time that, Lord, help me to pick my words when I talk. And there's some wisdom in that. And one thing about our Bible and about studying God's Word that you're going to find out the more you study it is that God does pick His words that He used. And you study some of those false Bibles, and the words that they've taken out and the things that they've taken out and the severity of the importance of those words that they took out. Some of them attack the deity. Some of them attack the virgin birth. Some of them attack salvation. Some of them, I mean, they're just a very, very important doctrine in the Word of God that you can't get taught without the words that God chose. So we're going to listen to every one of God's words. And this one is sins from which the Christian must turn away. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5, the Bible says this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Of course, that meaning dangerous, which is happening today, and these are the last times. And the Lord's right. Dangerous times are here. They're here right now. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Turn away. Now, that's not a suggestion or a comment. That's a command. That's a command. He's talking to born-again Christians and talking to Timothy and telling him how to pastor his flock and what to tell him about this matter of that sins from which a Christian must turn away. That in the last days things are going to get bad and the church is going to fall away from the truth and become like the Bible says, Laodicean, and fall away from the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. It's like softening up the truth, you know, and you can go to just about any corner in any city now, in any church, or any city and find a church that, preaches watered down scripture. And what the purpose of it is for, lots of different reasons, because people don't want to hear it no more. They don't want God the Holy Ghost reprimanding them and making them feel bad about their sin and this sort of thing. And the pastors don't want to be in trouble with their congregations and, excuse me. And a lot of it has to do with, with their belly, their paycheck. And just all sorts of business that come together about that matter, and then you got your educated people in Christendom that think more highly of their education than they do of God the Holy Ghost and the Holy Scriptures, and the Greek and Hebrew and all that sort of business and stuff like that. This is where Paul is leading Timothy and trying to put it in his head that this is what you need to. This is what you need to preach and teach and exhort. And he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, they are today, covetous, yes, there's covetous everywhere you look. If you don't find anything to be covetous about, you can turn your TV on. If your TV, which is impossible, don't show you something to covet, then you can get in your car and ride down the road for about a mile and look at any sign on the side of the road, and it will cause you to covet. If you don't there, you can turn your radio on, and they'll give you something to covet. Coveting is top-of-the-line sales pitch nowadays. These salespeople have learned how to do that, man. They got that down. They got that down. They know how to make you covet. and make you feel like you need something and that you want it and you lust after it. And that is today. Wouldn't you agree with that? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, more than any other day before. Today is a whole bunch of that going on. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There's your separation factor. God is giving you not only permission, but an order to stay away from that. Turn it away. Turn away from it. All right, so let's go over these sins individually and just see if we can get some, just define them a little bit and see what the Lord's talking about and just kind of put a little icing on the cake, if you will, and just see how, see what the Lord's talking about when Paul's telling Timothy this. Lovers of their own selves. Lovers of their own selves. You see a lot of that nowadays. Lovers of their own selves. In other words, these are the privileged ones. These are the ones that stand out from the rest, or at least think they do, and that they're special for some reason or something like that. Lovers of their own selves. This is the exclusive of a person to his own interests or happiness, or that supreme self-love and self-preference, which leads a person in his actions to direct his purposes to the advancement of his own interests, power, or happiness, without regarding the interests of others. In other words, me first, you last. At its worst, it is in its very essence of human depravity, and it stands in direct opposition of benevolence, which is the essence of divine character. As God is love, so man, in his natural state, is selfishness. Look out for number one. You know, I look out for me, myself, and I. I'm number one, and if there's anything left, you come last. You come second. You come last. Lovers of their own selves. That is today. That is today. And brothers and sisters, we need to be careful about that, about putting ourselves. The Lord tells us to condescend of men to men of low estate. We're to be humble, and we're not to love ourselves. We know what we are if we tell the truth, and we know what's in us. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts. And then he said that Jesus said in another place that he knew what was in man. And so do we. If you've grown in grace and grown in your faith, and you've learned, your mind is starting to think like what the Lord thinks like, and God the Holy Ghost has spent time in your thinking, then you know what you are, and you know how you are, and you know what you're capable of, and you know what you have to fight every day in your mind and in that flesh. And we can see the point to where the Lord says that we shouldn't be lovers of ourselves, because there really, if it came down to it, there's really nothing there to love except for God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us and the person that he's making us, right? Yeah, that's right. Now, I always tell people to stay, don't give up. Don't give up. Stay with the Lord. You're going to love that person he's turning you into. Now, that's true. That's true. He's conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ, and you're going to be perfect one day. A perfect that we can't understand as sinners and having the Adamic nature and being cursed. We can't understand. We ain't got no idea what perfect means. Use the word quite a bit, but don't know what it means, except that the Lord says it. And it's going to be wonderful and beautiful. You, the more you walk with the Lord and you accept what He teaches you, and you make it part of you, and your identity starts turning into that, becoming as the Lord, you're going to love that person. You will. But lovers of their own selves, this is not what Paul's talking about. Paul's talking about selfishness and the way the natural man thinks. He loves himself before he loves anybody else. And that's true. Next. Covetousness. We've been over that one before in a different category. It's a strong and inordinate desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good, usually in a bad sense, and applied to an inordinate desire for wealth and having things. Strong desire, eagerness, covetousness. Covetousness. You wake up every day and gotta have something. Got to have something. You know, brothers and sisters, if it comes down to it and you really start trusting the Lord, you can live on almost nothing. Did you know that? You can live on almost nothing. The Lord takes such good care of you if you'll trust Him that you'll find out that you don't have, you're not under the yoke of the world with that covetous attitude out there, running here and running there and passing. I mean, you driving down the road, I just let everybody pass me, and boy, do they. If you come, they come up behind you and you're doing 45 miles an hour, they can stay there. You watch them. They'll stay there for just a couple minutes, and then it gets to aggravating them, that covetousness. I got to get somewhere. I got to get it. I got to get it. And then, whoom, they come on by you. I mean, Mark chapter 7 and verse 22 talks about that. It says, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Now, that's all he mentioned in that verse, but covetousness, covetousness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, mortify. What's mortify? Well, you know what a mortician is, don't you? Mortify, put to death. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, what you're living in, the members that you're living in, that body, that temple. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You see, and it is, because anything that the Lord told us that anything that you become a servant to is your master. He didn't say it like that, but it's true. And if you're coveting something enough, and wanting and desiring and lusting after something, it will become idolatry. You'll start to idolize that thing until you get it and get sick of it and then want something else. And that's how this nature is. What else? Well, boasters. The last days are going to bring forth boasters, and boy, aren't they. Boasters, one who boasts. Do you boast? You tell everybody how good you are and how fancy you are and how special you are. Boasters. One who boasts and glories or vaunts ostentatiously, brags. To speak with laudable pride. To exalt oneself. Look at me. I'm somebody. You didn't know that? Well, let me tell you about it. You know? Boasters. Yeah. That's just about, I can spend about 5 minutes with one of them when they're talking like that, and then I have to get on out of there because it gets smelling like vomit, don't it? Yeah, you know, I mean, it's sickening to, and especially about us when we go to bragging about who we are and what we are. We know better than all that. And the closer you get to the Lord and the more you yield to God, the Holy Ghost, and to the Word of God, you ain't got nothing. We ain't got nothing to brag about. We got things to be thankful about. That's what we turn into, is thankful people, not boasters and proud people. And then, by the way, talking about proud, that's the next one. Lovers of their own self, covetousness, boasters, and proud, have an inordinate self-esteem. There's one thing to be glad that you're pleasing to God, but it's another thing to think that God ought to be thankful that you are who you are. You see that? Proud. Having an inordinate self-esteem, possessing a high or unreasonable conceit of one's own excellence, either of body or mind, and kind of arrogant, haughty, supercilious, having or showing arrogant superiority to and disdain of those one's views as unworthy. Now, I don't need to know what you say. I got this covered. I can handle this. I got it. Proud. Arrogantly proud. Bragging on yourself. And you see a lot of that stuff in sports nowadays. And a lot of these hot shots that got a lot of money for just a little while. Got a little money for just a little while. And next thing you hear about them is that they beat up their girlfriend and they're in jail for it. And been suspended from their big high podium that they've been standing on, you know. Proverbs chapter 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction. Did you get that? And, you know, if I think about it, any time I ever went down to where I was destroying myself, pride had to do with it. I had a proud heart. Standing up and wouldn't confess the truth about things and just being proud and haughty and things like that. And you probably did too. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Before a fall. If you don't think, pride has, come about nowadays more in these perilous times has not, become more common and more, people have gotten more proud. If you don't think so, go stop at a red light and watch two people get out and fist fight right in the intersection. Yeah. Proud. Brothers and sisters, we need to be humble people. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. In due time. Let God tell people about you. And I heard a man say one time about esteem, his brother Jack Hiles, he's with the Lord now, but he said when it comes to esteeming, he says, somebody says, Brother Hiles, what do you think of yourself? He said, well, I don't, he said, that was kind of hard. He said, I had to think about that for a minute. He said, I don't think about myself. He said, I don't have any esteem for myself. He said that the Bible teaches that we're not to have low esteem, walking around feeling sorry for yourself all the time, and that you're the lowest and most unworthy and all this, that, and the other. Brother, you're blessed if you're saved, and you're a son of God. But we're not supposed to walk around with low esteem, but you're not supposed to walk around proud and boasting with high esteem. It's not high esteem, and it's not low esteem. It's no esteem. I don't think about myself. I don't examine myself. I don't wake up and do a grade of myself. Take inventory every day. And if you ain't careful, the devil have you doing that. Taking inventory of yourself all the time. I mean, we're supposed to keep ourselves in check. That's what we're talking about. But that has to do with sin and everything, not getting up and esteeming yourself, whether you're or checking yourself and grading yourself all the time, whether you're at the exact place that you're supposed to be and stuff like that. Brother, you can't keep up with that mess. You can't keep up with that mess. The only thing, just be pleasing to the Lord. And just be pleasing to the Lord and be sincere and honest. Truth and sincerity and mean business with the Lord. And pray to the Lord and tell Him every now and then, Lord, as far as I know, I'm not hiding anything from You. And then you walk in right. You don't have to grade yourself. You ain't hiding nothing from God. You don't have to grade yourself. I mean, the Lord's very capable of telling you when he's not pleased with you. And most of the time, God the Holy Ghost has already slapped you across the head whenever you do something and smote you. You see. All right, what else? Blasphemers. Blasphemers. We talked about that on our last recording. It was on the last one. It sure was. And indignity offered to God by words or writing, something that's reproachful or contemptuous and irreverent words uttered impiously against Jehovah. Blasphemy is an injury offered to God by denying that which is due and belonging to him, like praise and glory and thanksgiving and everything else, and attributing to him that which is not agreeable to his nature. Like Jesus was talking about, you getting, remember we talked about that? You're getting pretty close to putting yourself in hell forever. You better watch them words coming out of your mouth, he's telling them Pharisees. Talking about that he had an evil spirit, remember? The unforgivable sin, the Lord said. Unpardonable sin. He said all sins can be forgiven to the sons of men that are blasphemy. When you blaspheme, but he that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost. And these Pharisees, they was calling Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, deity, saying he had a devil spirit. The Lord stopped everything right there and said, you're getting pretty close. You fixing to, you right on the verge of being in hell. And all he had to do was just snap his fingers and in hell they'd have been. But, he told them, you're getting real close to unpardonable sin, buddy. But blaspheming. We need to be careful about the things that we say, and loosely, especially about God's Word, too. We need to be careful about the way we talk about God's Word and how we use God's words. They're exactly like He wants them. They're perfect. And we have a perfect Bible. And it's exactly like God wants us to have in the English language. And we read it and we believe it. And every word of God is pure. The words of God are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's given us his words, and we ought to honor them and not blaspheme his words, not blaspheme his name, not blaspheme his holiness, his glory. We should have, reverence for the Lord. And love him. And you know, when you're sincere and you mean business and you love the Lord and you're trying to live your life before him, be pleasing, and you're sincere, you don't look at it like a grading system like that anymore. You look at it like, Lord, I don't want to disappoint you. You know, that's the way it is. But blasphemers. We talked about lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Here's another one, disobedient to parents. We talked about that, murderers of mothers and fathers. Remember on the last one? This is just being disobedient. Now, brother, that was one thing that the law gave parents the right to do. Boy, they wouldn't go with that nowadays. They got too much, he killed and axe murdered five or six people, but we want to make sure he don't suffer when he's executed. And that sort of business and all them kind of folks that are just feel sorry for everybody that gets in trouble. But, disobedient to parents. Neglecting or refusing to obey. Now, this is why it's still under the authority of your mom and dad's roof and under there. When you leave there, you're on your own and you're under God's authority. But omitting to do what is commanded or do what is prohibited, refractory, not observant of duty or rules prescribed by authority. And again, there you go again. You know, this is talking about what people are going to be like, what people will be like voluntarily and want to live like in these last days, and they do. You got people killing their parents right and left. Just go in there in the bedroom while they're sleeping, blow both of them away, and don't give a 1 minute thought about it. People laughing about that kind of stuff and just have no kind of remorse at all. This is a heart that is hard as stone, and you can't get through to them, and you can't make any sense to them or anything. That's what's going on today. Disobedient to parents. Now, you being a Bible believer and loving the Lord, learning about forgiveness, learning about putting away things and forgetting those things which are past and reaching forth to those things which are before, even being a grown-up, you ought to be more in your heart wanting to honor your parents and to do the things that are pleasing. And the older you see them get and the closer they get to going to be with the Lord, you just want them to be okay, you know. And that's the way a Christian should think. And anything that's been done in the past between you and your parents or something like that, that's you need to forgive it. And so do they. And the Bible said for us to honor our mothers and fathers. And how long does a mother and father remain your mother and father? They're always there, ain't they? Yeah. But don't let your parents go to be with the Lord without them knowing that you love them and that you appreciate them. And I know there's a lot of different scenarios out there and everything else, but talk to the Lord about it and get that stuff straightened out, and if there's anything there, and let your parents know that you're there for them and stuff. Unthankful, but nowadays they don't do that. And disobedient to parents is all over the place, and you know that. Man, you see, it used to be that a child is being pushed around in a buggy in a Walmart or something like that, or whatever store, being pushed around and going nuts and screaming to the top of their lungs and stuff like that. They'd take them in the bathroom in there, and they'd come out all straightened up. But nowadays, they just let them scream, you see little old 5, 6, 7-year-olds cussing their mom and daddy out and everything. Well, now just he's got this problem and that problem, and he takes 14 pills today and 16 tomorrow, and just all sorts of business like that. Disobedient to parents. It's just a lot of it now. There might be some problems with people's thinking and children's thinking, and there is the way these generations are coming up now. But in a good household where mama and daddy really do love their children and trying to do their best to help take care of them and stuff like that, or to take care of them, most children is just rebellion. It's just flat out well, I called the police on you. Man, if you said that when I was a boy, you get your teeth slapped down your mouth. You swallow your teeth. I've only heard one child say that, and that was my niece. And we were sitting in my mom and daddy's living room, and she was staying with, visiting mom and daddy and staying there, and they were babysitting her. And I was sitting there on the couch, and mama was saying something to her, and she's just a little, I think she's 6 or 7 years old, and she said, "Well, I'll call the police on you." And I looked over and I said, "You better not ever call the police on my mama." And she just kind of backed up and stood at attention for a minute and then got off that subject right quick, you know. But that's what they're being taught, is to be disobedient to their parents. There's all kind of school board meetings going on where this education system, a federal education system's gone nuts, trying to take over the children, and they just about done it. This generation, whatever you call it, X, You ever study that with letter X? It's a bad letter. Disobedient to parents in the last days. Talking about sin. Sin. And what's our topic today? Sins from which a Christian must turn away. Did you get that? Lovers of their own selves. Covetous, turn it away. Boasters, turn it away. Proud, turn it away. Now, that's not just you and sin being in your life. This is others also. Turn away. Proud. Blasphemers, turn away. Disobedient to parents, turn away. Here's another one. Unthankful. Unthankful. You ever been around somebody that just belly aching so much you just want to say, man, have you got anything to be thankful about? I mean, they just complain. You never hear them say thank you for nothing. I was in a McDonald's one time, sitting in there eating by myself. And this old man came in, and his son came in. This old man, probably 60, 70, and his son came in, probably 40 or 50. And then his two sons, the grandsons, came in, and there was two boys. And they was, I'd say 9, 10 years old, 8, 9 years old, something like that. And the grandfather was buying them one of them flurries, ice cream, in a cup with a spoon and stuff like that. And they went up there and got it. And when they came back, they was both eating on it and everything else and standing there by the grandpa. And the father said, "Now tell your granddaddy thank you." And they just stood there, wouldn't say a word, was eating that ice cream. You going to tell your granddaddy thank you? He just bought you that ice cream. You going to tell him thank you? And they didn't say nothing. And then his dad said, "I said, tell him thank you." And one of them spoke up and said, "He ought to be thanking us." Yeah. I almost jumped out of that seat. Oh, man. Oh, my. But there you go. That's it, brother. That's it. Unthankful. I want to take that ice cream and expedite it. Open your mouth, boy. I'm fixing to feed you every bit of this. Unthankful, not thankful, ungrateful, not making acknowledgments for good received. Unthankful. What else? It said turn it away. Unholy. Just simply not holy. Not holy. Not renewed or sanctified. Profane. Not hallowed, unholy, and proud of it. The Bible says, turn it away. Turn it away without natural affection. This is without love or concern for that which is natural, such as family, spouse, sexual things, man and women things, turning from that which God has put naturally in one's heart to have affection for. And we see a lot of unnatural things going on in society nowadays that are not natural. Matter of fact, they're trying to confuse it so much that they're even saying that men can be girls, but it can be women and women can be men. How unnatural can that get? Or is that? Just the thinking thought of that should put people to shame. Just to say that with your mouth ought to make you ashamed that you even said that. Because it's not natural. Men marrying men is not natural. It ought to be a shame to bring that up. Women marrying women. It ought to be a shame, and the Bible calls it that. It says it's a shame. It's a shame. Without natural affection, that which is not natural, loving something without love or concern for that which is natural, anything goes. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 28 says, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections." Vile is just filthy, nasty, affections, not natural, vile affections. God gave them up. He worked with them for a while and told them, look, you need to change this. You need to repent. You need to turn from this and get away from it. It's vile. And they wanted to keep it as affections, as their affections. The Lord said, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, unnatural, one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Are you talking about scary and doing something like that before God? As long as God's trying to correct you, you're safe. But you think it's dangerous to be doing that kind of stuff before God and Him give you a whooping, wait until He turns you over to it and won't listen to you anymore and just kind of put you out of His mind for a while and let you suffer. You say God wouldn't do it. Yes, He would. And yes, He does. Without natural affection, turn it away. Turn away. Truce breakers. You break your word. You make a covenant. Or an engagement. A truce, and you violate it. You don't keep your word. Truce breakers. One who violates a truce, a covenant, or an engagement. Turn it away. False accusers. False accusers, one who accuses or blames falsely, wait for it, intentionally, not accidentally blaming someone falsely. You blame them falsely intentionally. That's a false accuser. The Bible says, turn it away. It's sin. Turn it away. Now, we're talking about sins from which a Christian must turn away. Paul's not talking to unsaved people here, even though it applies to them. He's talking to people that know God. He's talking to a preacher and instructing him what to teach and to be careful about these sins that are going to be prominent in the last days. And so far, I haven't found any that are not prominent, have you? False accusers, turn it away. What else? Incontinent. Incontinent has several definitions, but the one that we're talking about here is not restraining the passions or appetites, particularly the sexual appetite. Indulging lust without restraint or in violation of the law, being unchaste, and not only that, but lewd. Not restraining passions or appetites. Just letting your stinking flesh just run stinking wild and ungodly, lustful appetite of filthy, nasty, lewd, sexual garbage. Incontinent. Turn it away. Just a few more here. Fierce. The Bible says that in the last days they'll be fierce. This is sin. In other words, savage, ravenous, easily enraged, eager of mischief, violent, outrageous, not to be restrained. Man, they burning down the cities, busting out the front windows of stores, and the whole crowds are going in there and robbing a store in the middle of daylight. Blow your brains out on the sidewalk right in front of everybody in the middle of the street. Fierce, savage, come and open your door and jump in there and hijack you right at a stoplight. Ravenous. Easily enraged. Get out and fist fight at a stoplight right in the middle of traffic. Beat one another down. That stuff goes on, don't you know that? It goes on. It goes on. Check your news tonight. I bet you can find some of this stuff. Well, I don't bet. I'm telling you, you'll find it. It's there. These are the last days. And he's mentioning these sins that Christians should turn away. Brothers and sisters, these things ought not be part of your life. Yeah, let everybody else do it, but not you. Everybody else can, but not you. Incontinent. Fierce. Here's another one. Despisers of those that are good. You say, well, a Christian would do. Oh, yes, a Christian would. There's all kind of Christians that despise those that walk upright before the Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ones that contemn, scorn, or disdain those that regard and honor God and His ways by following and obeying His word. Yeah. Despisers of those that are good. Even Jesus said that a preacher is not welcome in his own country and in his own family and in the people that know him. You're not respected no matter how good a preacher you are. No matter how good a Christian you are, you're not respected. Despisers of those that are good. Don't let that be you. Turn that away. If somebody's good, they're good. The Lord said that the ones that obey righteousness are righteous. Traitors. Guilty of treason, treacherous, perfidious, faithful, breach of allegiance. There's all kind of traitors today, isn't there? Even in your presidential playoffs. I ain't never in my life. I'm in my 60s now. Been through several presidents, and I've never seen supposedly the most dignified and upright and most honest and forthgoing and just meaning business to help a people stand up and cuss each other and talk bad about each other and talk bad about each other's families and just betray one another and betray people. There's so much of that stuff going on up in the government now. It's a shame for these people that are senators and congressmen and house people and running for president to stand up there before a nation and try to tell people how good they're going to treat them and how good things are going to be, and then turn over to your opponent over there and talk about his children and talk about how terrible of a person he is and blabbity and what he's done in his past and blabbity, 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 blab. If your leaders are like that, what do you think the nation's going to be like? There's no place for Jesus Christ in government here in the United States anymore. At least, not sincerely. His name might pop up every now and then, but not following his word. Not following his word. Traitors. Traitors. There's been a lot of traitors to this country and treason. And do you know what the penalty for treason is? Death. I ain't talking about the Old Testament or under the law and this, that, and the other scriptural law and the scriptures. I'm talking about United States rules. Treason is death. Good thing they're not holding people accountable for that, are they? Turn it away. Don't be a traitor. Don't be a traitor to the Lord. Don't be treacherous. The Lord talks about treacherous in the Old Testament. He talks about countries and peoples that were treacherous to him and committed whoredom against him and faithless. And don't turn your allegiance away from the Lord. Be faithful to the Lord all the way to the end. Finish right. Finish right. Heady. We know what heady is. It's rash, hasty, violent, disposed to rush forward in an enterprise without thought or deliberation, hurried on by will or passion. Turn it away. We're to turn these things away. This is what the what Brother Paul told Timothy to preach to his congregation. And that these people were going to be, that this is the way society was going to turn into, and it has. And this is what you are to turn away. But denying the power thereof from such what? From such people and the ones in the ones that commit these sins, turn away. Heady. High-minded. That's probably just a little bit having to do with being proud and arrogant. He mentioned pride a while ago, but decided that he wanted to mention high-mindedness also. Thinking more of yourself than you ought to think. And the Bible plainly tells us not to do that. Turn it away. What else? Well, there's two more. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And we don't even have to discuss that. You can see that any time, any day, any time. People love their pleasures, their lusts, their covetousness. They love that stuff. They love their affections. Their affections are not toward the Lord. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal. The Lord says, set your affections on things above. Above. You're supposed to be putting up inheritance. You're supposed to be putting up treasures in heaven. And doing spiritual work down here for the Lord. And behaving yourself. And acting like a Christian ought to act. And behaving like a Christian ought to behave. And learning the Word of God, which you are. God bless you. Right this very second. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Is going over God's Word and keeping God's Word fresh in our minds. And reminding ourselves of even the unsavory things like we're doing right now. Sin. Having one's affection toward gratification of the senses or of the mind, preferring the excitement or the expectation of good, opposed to pain, to forfeit God for pleasure from the indulgence of appetite. Trade the Lord in for pleasure in this world. Don't let that be you. Turn it away. What else? And the last one for today that we're talking about in this category, and what is our category? Our category is sins from which the Christian must turn away. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, and lastly, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Exercising godliness, so-called godliness, by external appearance without the essential qualities, an empty show. It's more like ceremony, going through the motions. It's mere a matter of form. This is what I appear to be. But in the heart, Lord called some of them in there open sepulchers, full of dead men's bones, nastiness and vile inside of yourself. You know, we need to check our hearts and make sure that we're the same person inside as we are outside. And that ain't no easy feat to keep up with, is it? Especially with this world and the flesh and the devil and all the things that we have to battle. But if you're sincere and you mean business with the Lord, and if you're doing these studies, you do. Just don't quit. Hang in there. Go all the way to the end and finish right. We're talking about sin. That's what we've been studying. And this has been quite a study. I think this has been the longest one we've done yet, as far as, I think there's 19 different sins, Brother Paul listed there. And, this was talking about future, people coming up. Men shall be lovers of their own selves in the last time, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he was absolutely right about every one of these, and is absolutely right, right this very second. Turn all this stuff away. Don't have no part of it. Turn it away. Sins from which the Christian must turn away. All right. Well, let me give you the scriptures for today. And we'll stop right there and we'll just get into our next one, which is on our next recording. You ready? Here's the scriptures for today's study. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Mark chapter 7, verse 22. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. Mark chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. And those are the ones that that we looked at in God's Word today. All right. So there we go, brothers and sisters. We are to turn some things away, and they're listed right there. And the Lord has his perfect way about him and why he had his word written like it is. And we should just thank him for it, believe it, and go believing. And the Lord doesn't make any mistakes, and his word doesn't make any mistakes. Matter of fact, it's perfect in every way. If you read enough of God's Word, and if there's something that you're confused about in God's Word, just keep reading and keep studying, because eventually, just like you take your fingers and blend them, intertwine them with each other, like when you're saying, it all comes together just like that. That's the way the Word of God does. It knits itself together just perfectly every time. You don't need no Greek and Hebrew or so-called originals and blah, blabbity blabbity blab and all that stuff. All you need is your English King James Bible and get in it and study it and believe it. And the Holy Ghost will teach you everything. He will. Never let you down. Well, next time we're going to get into our study on the next recording and talk about sins Christians are saved from. Sins which Christians are saved from. And after that, talk about sins which Christians must lay aside. Lay aside. Okay? And we're getting pretty close to getting out of this itemized. I think maybe we might have two or three. The Lord listed, he put a whole bunch of list of sins in the scriptures, didn't he? Did you know there's that many? I didn't. But good stuff. And that's what we need. Is God's Word. God bless you for studying. The Lord bless you and yours. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I will talk with you and look forward to studying with you on the next one. God bless you. Bye-bye.